Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio as City of Champions Radio is back on the air. I'm your host, Matt Geica, co-editor, along with Larry Snyder at City of Champions, and you can find us at cityofchampionsports.com, covering everything in the Pittsburgh sports universe. Just this weekend, we blew out the budget, if we had a budget, in terms of NFL draft coverage. Our newest staff writer, Harvard Ronson, proving very valuable and ready to go right at the start of his tenure at City of Champions. You can check out all of his work as he did both before, during, and after, or I guess all three of those, during the one of the busier weekends on the sports calendar, not just talking about the NFL draft, of course, but other things going on. But Harv was all over what the Steelers did this past weekend. Of course, now it's a three-day event, Thursday night, Friday evening, and then all day Saturday, and you can take a look at his work at cityofchampionsports.com. Also, a reminder that you can find us on Facebook and also Twitter, and our Twitter handle is city_of_champs_. And in addition to that, we have your latest Pirates information and opinion, including a column I wrote yesterday about the fact that the NL Central may be getting away from the Bucks, and we'll have continued monitoring of the Penguins offseason, which should be another one of change for a franchise that hasn't done what it has set out to do over the past several postseasons. But for now, it's time to just talk about the Steelers. In the NFL draft, they brought in 8 college prospects, hoping to have all of them at St. Vincent's in late July for the start of training camp in the run-up to the 2015 season. And joining me right now on the line to talk about those players and where they might fit in on both sides of the ball for the Steelers is Craig Gottschalk. He is the co-editor at Still Curtain. That's STILLCURTAIN. That is the Steelers-only site on the Fansided Network. And so it's good to catch up with him. Craig, thanks for the time this afternoon.
Hey, Matt. Good to be here.
So, Craig, first of all, let's start with the first round. It was certainly, I think, a controversial pick as the Steelers went with a linebacker for the third consecutive year in the first round. 2 years ago, it was Jarvis Jones out of Georgia. Last year, Ryan Shazier from Ohio State. And this year, with pick number 22, the Steelers and Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin and their brain trust decided that they had to go with Bud Dupree, outside linebacker from the University of Kentucky. Your first impressions were what? And also, what are your thoughts now after a few days have passed?
I was actually a bit surprised at the pick. Really thought they would break the 18-year tradition of not going with a corner in the first round. But I think as Dupree and some other top prospects started to slide down that list a little bit, they very well could have been scratching their heads for a while thinking, oh, maybe someone like him would fall and they would just wait and see how the chips landed and he was still available and they decided to take him. My impression is now I really like the pick. I know a lot of people are frustrated that the Steelers didn't go with a corner, but looking who was available still at that time, there was really no first-round talent that could get on the field right away and contribute right away, even with the potential of things changing up a bit with Keith Butler's new offense or new defense, not sitting the younger players, getting them on the field, unlike Dick LeBeau's defense in which he sat the rookies for a long time to learn that defense, that complicated defense. There still really did not seem to be first-round talent that could contribute and have a positive impact right away without some development. So they decided to go with Dupree, who could very well have that impact right off the bat. I mean, if you look at them now, they have 4 first-round picks playing linebacker now. You have Jarvis Jones, Ryan Shazier, you have Lawrence Timmons, the former first-round pick, and now you've got Bud Dupree. And so they have certainly gotten younger and faster at that position, and I think they're really banking on those kind of playmaking skills now to get those guys on the field as much as possible and to make that pass rush a lot more effective.
Where do you think Dupree stacks up against Jarvis Jones and Ryan Shazier? How does his skill set compare to those two guys?
I think he's I think he's a bit in between that of Jones and Ryan. I think, you know, with Jones, he's a little bit on the undersized, even though he's still trying to bulk up. I think Dupree outmatches him in that regard. But I think Shazier has the speed that Dupree certainly Dupree is fast. He's an athlete. He's, they say, you know, Mayock was saying after he was picked that he's got that freakish speed, but he's not super fast, but he is fast. But, you know, Ryan had a faster 40 in the combine. And so I think he kind of sits in the middle there between those two as far as skill set goes. But the guy is a beast in his determination of getting to the quarterback. He never gives up. And so hopefully that will play a lot to his advantage as he starts to line up against some of the bigger guys on the other side.
Well, Craig, as you said, it's been nearly two decades since the Steelers went with a cornerback in the first round, but they did go with a corner in the second round. They got Senquels Golson out of Ole Miss, and the one measurable that stands out regarding him is the fact that he stands at 5'9", but he also brings an ability to catch the ball, which is something that the Steelers haven't had too much of at the corner position, especially when Ike Taylor was the one being thrown toward. And also, just in general, he is considered an elite ball tracker. So in the NFL, the way things are set up these days, that's the kind of ability you have to have in the defensive backfield. So even though they didn't get a corner in the first round, do you feel like they may have gotten a guy who perhaps could be interpreted down the line as having been a steal in Senquez Golson?
Yeah, I think eventually he's going to be a very productive corner for them. I'm not sure how he's going to line up right off the bat, but I think he is a solid pick. You know, admittedly, I quipped early on that I poked a little bit of fun at his height. I said he was the dry archer of cornerbacks, and you know, but the thing about him is that he, just like we'll get to soon, a little bit later here with Doran Grant, he is a very smart player. He's got the ball hawk skills. He can track the ball well. There's a level of maturity there in his style of play. He's a very cerebral guy. And I think that will work to his advantage when he makes the transition to the NFL. You know, guys that are currently on the roster, like Cortez Allen, who had one good year, signed a good contract, and then he struggled, seemed like that there were certain plays that he got beat on that just got in his head, and he just couldn't quite get over that hump of getting beat. And I think someone like Golson will have sort of that maturity that wouldn't faze him, and he would stick with it and continue to push through and play hard and just play smart, which will certainly work to their advantage. What I'm really worried about him is his height. And his arm length, too. I'm worried about how he's going to stack up against some of the taller receivers. I did write a piece yesterday on our site about that, you know, a lot of the things that the coaches are saying is that, oh, we can coach out this quality out of these guys. And something that you can't coach up is height, and that he's going to be lining up against guys that are 6'2", 6'4", 6'5", even within the division. And you know, how does he overcome that deficiency? He's got good jump skills, but again, I'm worried about stuff that ends up in the end zone with a little floater in the corner. Is he going to be able to poke that ball out of the air, let alone just try and pick it off? So, but we'll see how things pan out when he gets into camp and he starts lining up guys like Martavis Bryant, and Marcus Wheaton, and certainly Antonio Brown.
Yes, I thought you did a great job of laying out some of your concerns about especially Golson in that recent piece. Once again, it's still Curtin, and while I do love the name, I have to admit that talking NFL draft, I kind of wish that your site had the old name, which was Nice Pick Cower. I did enjoy that one too, but it doesn't quite fit in with the current, I guess, era of Pittsburgh Steelers football, though I did love the reference there. Let's talk about the third round player, Sammy Coates, a little bit more. Where do you think he fits in? I was somewhat surprised the Steelers went with a wideout once again, especially with the emergence of Martavis Bryant last year in the second half of the season. Looked like someone who could really be a contributor and a game breaker in some cases, especially in the area of the red zone for years to come. But the Steelers go with the Auburn wideout Coates, and I'm curious to see where you think he might fit in. I know in your recent piece you wrote that with Todd Haley liking to go to the two tight end sets quite a bit, he may have a hard time getting in, at least in his first NFL season, if he can't really blow people away, I suppose, in training camp.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think really the coaches wanted to bring him in, and Colbert wanted to bring him in to just continue to challenge the current wide receiver core and to see how things fall out during training camp. I don't think they're ever going to be satisfied with the group of guys that they have, and they're always going to want to push the guys who can stretch the field. And certainly Coates can do that with his speed and his size. He's got big playmaking potential that's obvious in the tape that you see. You know, Auburn didn't throw the ball that much. They're like over 60% run. So he didn't get a lot of looks. And the ones that he did get, he does have, you know, propensity to drop passes. And that's been one of his biggest criticisms coming into the draft and then certainly after being drafted. Steeler Nation certainly voiced their opinion on that matter. I'm not really sure how he's going to be able to overcome the drop passes. Richard Mann, the wide receivers coach, did say that he felt it was due to lack of concentration because he was on the sidelines a lot. But again, coming in to play for this top high-ranked offense that has three solid receivers right now and an offensive coordinator that has a tendency to favor two tight end sets or some big jumbo packages with two tight ends and a fullback lined off on the edge, you know, where is he going to get on the field? When is he going to get on the field? He's certainly not going to take snaps away from Antonio Brown. I don't think he's going to take snaps away from Bryant. Maybe he will be there to directly compete against Wheaton. Maybe the coaches want to see him push a little bit further. This is one where I question probably the most out of all of their selections, and I'm really curious to see how things pan out during the course of training camp when they start to filter the roster out.
I'm talking to Craig Gottschalk of Steel Curtain right now. NFL Draft is our topic here on City of Champions Radio. I'm Matt Geica, co-editor at City of Champions, in addition to being the primary host here on Blog Talk. Craig, you used those first three picks, the first 2 days of the NFL Draft, yielded Dupree, Golson, and Coates, and you leveraged them into your recent piece that we've referenced a couple of times about hoping, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that the Steelers, with Keith Butler in charge now, as defensive coordinator, will allow some of their players fresh out of college to get a little bit more of playing time, of live bullets, if you will, in the NFL, as opposed to the old Dick LeBeau approach. Do you really see that being a big shift coming up for the Steelers? And I'm talking about just primarily defensive side of the ball, of course, with the leadership change there. But how confident are you that Pittsburgh will look to get some of these younger guys in more so than they have in the past?
I sure hope so. They're really, you know, this, especially with this draft, they seem to shift away from all the numbers that are gathered at the combine, you know, all those attributes that the teams seem to really comb over and say, who's going to be the best player? And they really focused on the players who on tape and by example through their play were able to make a difference in their position and for their team. And so they're gobbling up guys that have good potential to be playmakers. And in order for a playmaker to make plays, you got to put them on the field. And I don't think that that is by accident. I think that is actually very direct. And I'm pretty confident that under Keith Butler's defense that they will use similar systems, probably will be simplified, but they're going to get these guys out on the field much sooner than later, give them opportunities to use their skill sets to make plays, and really help this team out and making splash plays, you know, changing the momentum of a game and a single play, that kind of stuff that through the early 2000s, you know, we were so used to seeing as fans with the very stout defense that we had with all those playmakers. And so hopefully that the trend is now, the pendulum is swinging back in the other direction from where we've been the last few years.
Looking at day three here, and the Steelers went local in terms of major colleges with Doran Grant, a cornerback, their fourth-round pick, and then in the fifth round, Jesse James, no, not the outlaw, but the tight end from Penn State. He stands at 6'7", and some have said that he could be a Matt Spaeth replacement down the line. And in terms of Grant, referred back to Senquez Golson, did a couple of analysts I read, including Mark Dalgarian, of NFL.com. He thought that Grant was also a cerebral player. So those two guys added in rounds 4 and 5. And then we had Latarius Walton, a defensive tackle from Central Michigan. That's round 6, another round 6 pick, a defensive end, and Anthony Chiquillo of Miami. So, and then you go all the way down to round 7, and also another defensive pick in Gerard Holloman of Louisville. So defense was definitely the focus here, Craig, especially on day 3 of the draft for the Steelers. Of all those guys I rattled off, and I guess we'll leave James out of it for now, but of Grant, Walton, Chiquillo, and Holloman, who do you think has the best opportunity to make an immediate impact for the Steelers, and maybe a long-lasting one?
Well, I will say that the Steelers certainly love their Ohio State players. It seems like they can't go a draft without getting one of these guys. But, you know, that says something about their program. It's a strong program out there. They farm out, you know, lots of guys that can get into the NFL once they reach that stage. I think Grant will have a really good opportunity to make an impact simply because the secondary is under such despair right now. And a lot of question marks, too. And I think with a lot of question marks then brings a lot of opportunity. The coaches will really be keeping their eyes and ears open for what's happening on the field during training camp. And I think it will be, you know, the gloves will be off in the secondary with these battles, and the coaches will be very receptive to, you know, whoever's going to be the best player out on the field, that's who they're going to put out there. You know, I really like Chiquillo too, out of Miami. You know, he one of the things you mentioned, Dalgarian, before, I like one of the things that he talked about in his analysis. You know, he's got 5 technique written all over him, and he absolutely does. He fits the 3, the odd front very well. And I think he could be really good off the edge. You know, these are all solid picks. You can't not like these players. They're all good, talented players. I think the biggest thing right now is, you know, questioning where some of these guys will fit sort of under the current scheme of what's going on within the organization. You know, we want to go back to Jesse James. You know, he actually, I'm not really sure about him. You know, a Matt Spaeth replacement, was that kind of a wasted pick? Matt's actually doing okay right now, being the run blocking a tight end that he is. You know, but James is certainly not a Miller replacement, and that's really what the Steelers need. They need a Heath Miller replacement. And you've got, you know, all those rumors swirling around about the Steelers potentially making a jump for Max Williams earlier on, and, you know, getting beat out by the Ravens when they traded up just one spot in front of the Steelers. So, you know, I'm not really sure about the James pick. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out too.
When you look at this draft on the whole, I know it's tough to do with 8 guys and all very different skill sets, and the guys down the board, of course, maybe more long-term projects, but who knows? We never quite can tell how it's going to turn out. But if you had to look at it and say this was a move in the positive direction from a draft perspective or a negative direction, which way would you lean as far as 2015 goes and how the scouts and then, of course, when it comes down to it, the two guys at the top, Colbert and Tomlin, executed those picks over this past weekend?
I think it was a definite swing in the positive direction. There were less picks in which there was less of a freak out during some of these picks as to what in the world were these guys thinking. It seemed that there was a much calmer demeanor from Steeler Nation and including myself in the reactions to many of these picks. I think some of them you get pretty excited about. I was pretty excited about Bud Dupree. You know, I was excited about Grant being selected. I thought he was a pretty solid choice too for the value. You know, I think all of these are good picks. They're filling needs that they have. One bold statement during the draft, and that they are totally confident in the running back group that they have right now, even with Bell facing his suspension. How long that'll be, you know, if he appeals, I don't know, but, you know, potentially those three games, they have confidence in D'Angelo Williams, and so they didn't feel the need that they had to, you know, even reach and pick a running back in the earlier rounds or even go for, you know, a project for the later rounds. So I think it's definitely a trend in the positive direction.
And they also didn't take an offensive lineman, so that was something that may have been perceived
as
somewhat of a need for the Steelers. So looking to some of the free agents they signed, though, Craig, do you see anyone there who tickled your fancy in ways that maybe you didn't expect?
Not really. I mean, you know, you look at these guys and you think, like, oh, man, yeah, there's a lot of potential, and, you know, very rarely do these guys ever get off from being practice squad fodder. And so it's a shame to kind of boil it down that way, but I really don't see very many guys in which, you know, maybe Hachi actually, you know, potentially could challenge some things, but Micah Hachi, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm never, they pick these guys up, and I just never really feel that confident that we're going to be hearing their name very much after training camp.
It is a long shot for sure. Well, Craig, this has been a lot of fun. If you could, before you hang up today, tell us more about the site, how long you've been helping to run that, and also just your background as a follower of the Steelers franchise.
I'm born and bred in Pittsburgh. I lived there for over 20 years before heading out west to Minneapolis, which is where I currently reside, and been a Steelers fan for as long as I can remember, watching games with my dad. I've been with the site as an editor since 2010. I'm entering my fifth season now, and I'm co-editors now with Kimmy, and it's been great. It's a great site to help run and to write for. Such a great organization, an exciting organization, and hopefully things will continue to go well for the team and for the site.
Well, it's an informative site. I've enjoyed going there, especially over the past week or so, as there was the run-up to the draft and now the aftermath, as we all try to analyze things and put players into categories. Not the easiest thing in the world to do, but it is the time of the year to try to figure out where some of these pieces are going to fit in that grand scheme once we do get to training camp and once we get past the long off season and right back into football season in late July. Well, Craig, thank you very much. This was great. I really enjoyed it. We'll definitely have to catch up later this year as we get ready for another season of Steelers football.
Absolutely, Matt. Thanks for having me on anytime.
That's Craig Gottschalk, co-editor at Still Curtain. And once again, that is our fan-sided brother site, if you will. We're here at City of Champions. They're over there covering just the Steelers, and as you can imagine, they have tons of new content up there for your perusal. Again, for my co-editor, Larry Snyder, who should be joining me for another episode of City of Champions Radio in the future, and Craig, this has been Matt Geica reminding you that when the radio fades, you know life's moving fast. Thanks for tuning in for some NFL draft talk. We'll have a Penguins episode coming up later this week, hoping to set that one up and get the details out to you in the very near future. Until then, we'll talk to you later here on Blog Talk Radio.